If you love Snapped, you're going to love listening to true crime or mystery titles on Audible. The latest mind-bending title I'm obsessed with is How to Solve Your Own Murder by Kirsten Perrin. A fortune teller predicts a young Frances Adams will be murdered, leading her into a paranoid frenzy, trying to solve her own murder before it even happens. Nearly 60 years later, Frances is killed, and it becomes her great-niece's mission to solve the case. With female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, and traditional audiobooks, Audible has you covered for every genre you're looking for in audio entertainment. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. It is the home of storytelling, after all. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/snapped or text snapped to 500-500. That's audible.com/snapped or text snapped to 500-500.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When a beloved family member disappears, his last message leaves his loved ones on edge.
It was a Spanish word for death.
They took it to be a threat or that something bad had happened to him.
As detectives race to track him down, they uncover a tangled love triangle.
We found out that he may have been dating his brother's ex-girlfriend.
Detectives must determine if this is a love triangle gone bad or something much more dangerous.
She says, I believe that was cartel or gang related.
She said, a van pulled up and four guys got out of the car and grabbed us.
The search for the truth will have investigators unearthing secrets buried deep.
We're digging, and all of a sudden, whatever we hit, a bad smell started coming up from the ground.
This is one of the most brutal acts of violence that I've seen in my career.
They calculated the entire thing.
He just slammed his hands on the table. He's like, fine, I'll just tell you what happened.
May 2013, Chicago, Illinois. It's an ordinary day at the Chicago Police Department when a frantic man rushes in.
A young man who was from Honduras by the name of Jose Reyes Ramos was reported missing by his brother, Jorge Ramos.
According to Jorge, he hasn't heard from his brother in 4 days.
On May 21st in 2013, he just fell off the face of the earth.
He lived with a cousin and some friends and didn't come home when he was expected to come home.
Mi primo, él fue el que me llamó para decirme, mira, José no aparece. Ya tiene 4 días.
It was unusual behavior for him. It was not in his character to just disappear and not be in communication with them.
Tratar de llamar a los amigos que tenemos en otros estados, a ver si a lo mejor se fue para allá. No pudimos conseguir nada. Entonces, cuando empieza lo más preocupante.
This is a family that are very concerned that something had happened to Jose Reyes. They wanted to do everything in their power to make sure that he was found.
Fue entonces cuando toda la familia pues se puso a repartir volantes y a preguntarle a los amigos y luego pues fue una noticia muy grande porque pues tenemos muchos conocidos, ¿verdad? Y todos estaban pendientes por si miraban a José por ahí.
José's brother says when no one came forward, they decided to file an official report.
They were seriously concerned, and they wanted help in finding him.
Officers have to ask if there's any way Jose just packed up and moved elsewhere. But Jorge is doubtful.
Nosotros como familia siempre somos comunicativos de lo que vamos a hacer. Por ejemplo, que si alguien se va a ir, siempre hay alguien de la familia que sabe que se va a regresar.
Jorge fears something tragic may have happened, given his last communication with Jose on May 21st.
His brother got a text message from him that kind of disturbed him, and it was the Spanish word for death. That was the last time that anybody had contact with Jose.
At first, Jorge thought the text was sent as a joke, but now he's adamant his brother is in trouble.
For a text message with that word to appear was very suspect. It just raises some additional red flags.
With no time to lose, officers push his family for details about the 29-year-old's life.
Was there any depression? Did he have any issues with anyone that might have wanted to cause him any harm? Any fights with the family? The normal questions that we would ask when someone is reported missing.
Jose Reyes Ramos was born in Honduras in 1984. With his father out of the picture at a young age, Jose spent much of his childhood helping his mother care for his younger siblings.
Jose era mi primo, ¿verdad? Y nos llevábamos muy bien. Se crió con mi tío y con la mamá. Jose era el hermano mayor de dos hermanos y una hermana. Una familia humilde, trabajadora.
When Jose wasn't in school, he was working to contribute to the household.
Una persona que uno aprendía de él, él siempre estaba trabajando. Y le pudiera decir bien responsable en todo.
In 2008, at the age of 24, Jose moved in with his younger brother Jorge in Chicago and found work in construction.
Jorge tenía 4 años aquí en los Estados Unidos. Él se sentía solo y anhelaba tener a uno de sus hermanos aquí. El sueño de ellos siempre fue que su mamá viviera bien, porque cuando ellos llegaron a este país, pues ellos sabían tanta pobreza que habían vivido.
His mother and his younger siblings relied on him and his brother, so they sent money home faithfully on time to Honduras.
Jose learned the tricks of the construction trade with ease and ultimately was able to start his own business.
Había avanzado bastante en lo de la construcción. Ya estaba trabajando para él solo. Él fue aprendiendo a reparar apartamentos y fue avanzando cada día.
While Jose kept most of his focus on work, Jorge's life was forever changed when he met single mother of two, Daisy Gutierrez, at a local laundromat.
Daisy was born here in the United States, but her family, her parents, immigrated here from Mexico.
The Chicago teen had dropped out of high school following the birth of her first child, but longed to continue her education.
She loved being a mom. I think she just was struggling because she was very young and trying to find that balance. I know she was living with her dad and her mom, so they helped her quite a bit.
From the moment Daisy and Jorge met, they were inseparable.
She seemed very friendly, very nice. And I think she really was searching for like a family togetherness.
Soon, the happy couple learned they were expecting.
Jorge was happy to take on the role of a father figure and stepfather. And when he learned that Daisy was pregnant, he was even more excited.
Jose was equally ecstatic to be an uncle and doted on Daisy and the kids.
Jose was supportive and trying to be helpful with the children as the uncle.
Despite the initial excitement, the reality of parenthood took a toll on Daisy and Jorge's relationship.
Entonces, cada que yo había un problema, ella no trataba de solucionar nada. La relación estaba muy, como mal.
The young parents eventually called it quits, and Jose took on the role as intermediary to keep the peace.
Jose would help facilitate with Jorge and, you know, meeting the needs of the children or visiting the children.
With a new nephew in his life, a booming construction business, and plenty of money to send back home, Jose's future was bright.
José era un hombre muy humilde y trabajador. Nosotros venimos de una familia muy emprendedora que trabajamos duro para conseguir nuestras metas.
But Jose's rise to success crashes to a sudden halt when his brother receives a cryptic text on May 21st, 2013.
Y solo, el mensaje solo decía muerte.
They, I believe, took it to be a threat or that something bad had happened to him.
When the missing persons report hits their desks, detectives immediately issue a bolo for the missing 29-year-old.
The missing persons detectives did a great job trying to find where he could be, work-related, family-related, checking the airports, the passports. He had ties to Honduras, checking with family in Honduras. Nobody heard from him.
Jose didn't have a car, so he would take public transportation. So he left to go catch the bus to go somewhere, Jorge presumes, to go to work. And that's the last time that anyone had seen him.
When investigators obtain Jose's phone records on June 7th, 2013, it's clear that the muerte text sent to his brother on May 21st was the last recorded activity on Jose's phone. But that's not all they find.
The phone record showed that he was calling a phone number that belonged to someone he might have been having some type of relationship with. We found out that he may have been dating his brother's ex-girlfriend, Daisy Gutierrez.
She engaged in some flirtatious text messages and telephone calls with Jose.
After we seen that Jose had been contacting Daisy and vice versa, we needed to speak to Daisy.
Coming up, family drama casts suspicion on Jose's own brother.
Maybe Jorge is making up this whole story about his brother missing.
And a shocking story turns the investigation on its head.
She said they threw us into the car and told us to be quiet.
July 2013. Phone records have revealed that the last person that was in contact with missing person Jose Reyes Ramos was his brother's ex-girlfriend, Daisy Gutierrez.
Obviously, I wanted to delve a little more into that. So I went to go interview his brother, Jorge. Jorge had indicated to me he has no relationship with his ex-girlfriend. They broke up on bad terms, and he doesn't even communicate with her.
According to Jorge, in one of his last communications with Daisy directly, she made a shocking allegation.
His brother indicated to me that Jose is madly in love with Daisy, and his brother and him were at odds about the fact that Jose wanted to date his ex-girlfriend and essentially become a surrogate father for his two children, which I found extremely peculiar at the time. Maybe Jorge is making up this whole story about his brother missing, and he indeed knows a little more as to why his brother's missing.
Detectives press Jorge for more details about his brother's disappearance, but his story remains the same.
Based on the information we had, his brother did not have anything to do with it. His brother was very worried, very concerned about Jose, and he was very concerned that something had happened.
After exhausting every angle into Jorge, he is officially ruled out as a suspect. Hoping Daisy might have some answers, investigators pull her address and notice another connection to Jose's cell phone data.
The cell tower location history showed that his phone was pinging off towers that led right to the residence where Daisy Gutierrez lived on the night he went missing. All our leads were leading to Daisy.
My next step is to see if I get a hold of Daisy, to see if maybe she has seen Jose. I arrived at Daisy's home and was met by Daisy's mother, who indicated to me that she hasn't spoken to Daisy and is not exactly certain where Daisy went. There were children in the home, and I asked, are those Daisy's children? And she said, yes, those are Daisy's children. She's equally as frustrated as I am in trying to find Daisy. I told Daisy's mother that it's imperative that I speak to Daisy.
But over the next several weeks, no one reports hearing from Daisy or Jose, circulating theories among detectives.
So, you know, that's when it becomes frustrating. At this point, I'm kind of stuck. I don't know where Daisy is. I was given some phone numbers, disconnected or not a good number. I thought to myself that maybe she is with Jose and that maybe she's just protecting Jose from his family being upset with him. Why, again, asked mom, how do you live, you know, your daily life with your grandkids and not knowing, you know, the whereabouts of your daughter? She informed me that she's gonna try to do her best in locating Daisy, and I told her, you know, I'll be back within a couple days to speak to her. If she doesn't get back to me, I would periodically check in with her.
Then, on August 3rd, 2 months since Jose's disappearance, detectives receive a break that could clear up some confusion.
Suddenly, one day in the office, Daisy Gutierrez called me. She says, you know, I understand you're looking for me. And I said, well, yes. Where are you? You know, I'd like to speak to you in person. She said, well, I'm living in New Jersey now. I decided to move out here with a boyfriend. And I said, well, who's this boyfriend? And she said, just a guy that I met online.
Daisy says her new boyfriend is 22-year-old Milton Miranda.
I asked her, well, what about Jose? Do you happen to know where he's at? And she said, I have no idea where Jose is.
According to Daisy, she'd traveled to New Jersey via bus to stay with her new boyfriend at the end of May.
Daisy Gutierrez stated that she hasn't seen Jose Reyes in several months and hasn't had contact with him.
But detectives know that Jose's cell phone pinged off a tower right next to Daisy's home on the night of his disappearance.
At this point, I obviously had the phone records, but I was not going to tip my hat, and I really, really wanted to speak to her in person.
Before detectives hang up with Daisy, they ask if her boyfriend Milton was in Chicago around that time.
Daisy also told us that Milton Miranda was never in Chicago.
After answering detectives' questions, Daisy promises to come to the station when she's back in Chicago to visit her family. While he waits, Detective Matias follows up on her story.
She claimed that she was traveling back and forth from New Jersey to Chicago on a Greyhound bus in May of 2013.
When they had the bus records tracked down, there was a ticket purchased for Milton and for Daisy, which Daisy said that Miranda was never in Chicago, so she was lying.
The tickets are dated just days after Jose's murder.
We needed to hear her side of it. We were going to find out what happened.
On August 10th, investigators get the chance to confront Daisy.
I received a phone call from Daisy saying, completely out of the blue again, saying, hey, I'm in Chicago. I'm able to talk.
Finally, face to face with Daisy, detectives waste no time presenting her with phone records showing Jose near her house on May 21st, the night he went missing.
She said, okay, I'm gonna tell you what happened. And she goes, let's take a walk. So we take a walk down the block, as bizarre as that may sound, and suddenly her demeanor changed. She changed from this bubbly person to kind of this person that wanted to convince me of something.
According to Daisy, she had in fact seen Jose on May 21st.
She said that Jose was coming to bring things for the children initially.
Daisy said he came over in May to visit me. He took the bus here and we decided to go for a walk. And after we turned the corner, a van pulled up and four guys got out of the car and grabbed us and put hoods over us, threw us into the car and told us to be quiet and started beating up Jose.
A group of unknown men took her and Jose in a vehicle, and then they took them to either the forest preserve or some wooded area on the southwest side of the city where Jose was killed.
She said that they dismembered the body while Daisy was there. She said that they threw the body in plastic bags and got rid of it by a forest.
She says, I believe that was cartel or gang related, that they had it out for Jose for some unknown reason. She had managed to escape and get away from these unknown men.
She indicated that she thinks they're part of the Zeta gang in Honduras, which is a pretty vicious gang that operates in Central America. She said she was extremely afraid. That's why she didn't mention anything to anyone. It was a crazy story, and it opened up a whole slew of other possibilities.
Coming up, detectives descend upon the alleged crime scene.
I'm going to try to verify as many of the facts as I possibly can.
They went out with a ton of detectives and the dogs.
And a new witness emerges with a shocking tale.
He said this is what they do, they kill people. We don't want to be next.
So, you keep trying to get in shape and it keeps not working. I'm Lacey Green, a super trainer with Body. That's BODI.com. And I've got a story you have to hear. I have a client who came to me because she was really frustrated that every gym or trainer she tried made her feel bad because she was a beginner. She had tried it all and she just felt humiliated. And that's when we started working together and I took her through my 3-week program called For Beginners Only. Once she realized that she wasn't the problem and that she just needed the right program, she started to get results. And now she's completely unstoppable and feeling so strong and confident. And I can do the same for you. On the Body app, subscribers lose 5 to 10 pounds consistently in their first month. And I bet you will too. In fact, CNN underscore just named Body best fitness app. And right now, Body has a special introductory offer. The next 500 new users who sign up for a year of Body save 72%. That's just 33 cents a day. All you have to do is go to body.com. That's BODI.com.
If you're like me and refuse to let go of your skinny jeans, you're a millennial. And if you're a millennial, it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream to your daily routine. Rooted in nature and innovated with science, Clarins has a long legacy of creating industry-first, plant-forward products. Using a skin charger complex made of 2% niacinamide and sea holly bioextract, Clarins Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, evening tone and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier. While Multi-Active Cream can't bring back the golden age of boy bands, it can de-stress your skin. Clarins Multi-Active Cream is available online now. Go to clarins.com/truecrime and get Multi-Active Day and Night Cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/truecrime with promo code TRUECRIME. clarins.com/truecrime with promo code TRUECRIME.
Less than 3 months after the disappearance of Jose Reyes Ramos, Daisy Gutierrez has just given Chicago detectives a harrowing tale of his abduction and subsequent death, suggesting it was gang motivated.
Chicago has a gang problem and a crime problem. I mean, that's no secret. Obviously, I feel we have to ask, was he a gang member? Did he get into a beef with anybody recently?
Though Daisy's story is compelling, detectives have their doubts.
I feel one of the most important things about being a police officer and a detective is always consider your source. She's lied to us in the past.
I did think to myself, why would she make up such an elaborate story, you know, because she must know that I'm going to try to verify as many of the facts as I possibly can.
As a start, detectives ask Daisy to take them to the forest preserve where she says Jose was killed.
They went out with a ton of detectives and the dogs, and they didn't discover anything.
We weren't able to obtain any type of crime scene or anything that could corroborate that part that she was telling us of Jose Reyes being murdered.
Still, after working the case for several months, detectives know they are more than likely working a homicide.
The fact that she put herself in the middle of something that might have ended violently for Jose, I thought that maybe, you know, Jose is gone.
Despite their worst fears, detectives work to obtain concrete evidence. Finally, on October 4th, 2013, less than 5 months after Jose's disappearance, they get some answers.
Daisy reached out to law enforcement again.
She said that she was lying. She knew what happened, and she came forward because she was mad at Milton. We were really surprised.
I brought her into an interview room. She indicated to me that her and Jose did have some type of romantic relationship, but she had developed a romantic relationship with Milton Miranda. She said that she really liked this guy, Milton, and she was kind of tired of Jose always pestering her. And you know, she would tell Milton that.
Jose had been in communication with Daisy and had been texting with her and had a romantic interest. Milton knew about Jose texting her and communicating with her, and Milton did not like this and wanted to do something about it.
At some point, she invites Milton to come to Chicago to visit her. Milton and her get into a conversation about Jose, and Milton says, "You're texting him, and that's disrespectful." And she's like, "I love you. I don't care for him." And she says, "I'll prove it to you. I'll call him over here, and, you know, when he gets here, you could beat him up."
Daisy tells detectives that at Milton's request, she invited Jose over to her parents' house on the night of May 21st.
She says that he arrives at the house and that she's in the bedroom with him, and Milton is hiding in the closet of the bedroom. And she starts kind of like taking her clothes off, you know, to entice Jose. And the plan was that Milton's gonna pop out of the closet and beat him up.
Milton Miranda came through the door with a metal pipe and began to beat Jose Reyes.
According to Daisy, he used the metal object to initially bludgeon Jose, and then he used a knife from the kitchen to stab him, to slit his throat.
He stabs him and he falls to the bed, and basically Milton stabs Jose to death.
Daisy said she was shocked and in disbelief.
She was saying she had no idea that he was going to be killed.
She tells the police that wasn't what she understood Milton was going to do. that she was surprised and that she was terrified at that point in time because she realized that, in fact, Milton was a dangerous person. She's afraid if she doesn't cooperate with Milton that something bad's going to happen to her.
Though detectives believe they are getting closer to the truth, they still sense Daisy is more culpable than she's letting on.
She's putting all of the blame or all of the responsibility and everything onto Milton.
Daisy says that she thought that he was just going to beat him up. I don't believe that. You know, you don't have a pipe and a knife ready just to beat somebody up.
When detectives confront Daisy with their suspicions, her confident demeanor begins to break down.
She felt the pressure from me, constantly disputing her stories that she was telling me. She said, okay, yes, you know, I knew that the only way to get him out of my life is to get rid of him. So I knew that he was going to pop out of the closet and stab him. She said, Jose is laying on the bed and he's dead. And the bed is completely saturated with blood. And she's looking at him like, what are we gonna do now? And suddenly she says that her father, mother, and brother arrive. She says that her mom and her brother go into the parents' bedroom and stay there.
Daisy says she enlisted her father's help in a grisly task.
She says that she was just basically watching as Milton cut the body into pieces. Then her father kind of helped hold some of the pieces down. She said that she helped bag some of the pieces as they were cut up. I'm thinking to myself, okay, that first story of being kidnapped was crazy. This story is, you know, 100 times crazier.
According to Daisy, Jose's burial site is close to home.
Her mother recently dug out a little garden in their backyard. So they said, well, just dig it out some more, put the garbage bags in there and then cover it up. And then, you know, she could plant her flowers there. So she said that's what they did.
Daisy tells detectives after burying the dismembered body, she and Milton tried to cover their tracks.
She claimed that they cleaned everything up. They threw out the mattress because it was full of blood. And then her and Milton decided the following day to take a Greyhound bus back to New Jersey.
But Daisy says her relationship with Milton was shaken by the crime.
Once Milton and Daisy got to New Jersey, the relationship did not last long. Milton, in fact, broke up with Daisy.
So she decided she was going to come back to Chicago and tell the police that Milton really did kill Jose.
I do believe she may have indicated that she wanted to turn Milton in and see Milton caught or arrested. In reality, Daisy was equally interested in luring Jose over to the house, knowing full well that Milton's plan was, in fact, to kill Jose.
When she talked about her involvement in this thing, she was under arrest.
Coming up, detectives finally locate Jose.
I see the stick coming up with a piece of black garbage bag and something in the ground that is rotting.
I mean, it was horrific.
October 4th, 2013. Investigators descend upon the Gutierrez family home following a confession from Daisy that she and her boyfriend, 22-year-old Milton Miranda, brutally murdered Jose Reyes Ramos and buried him in her parents' backyard.
I take a team of detectives with me. I arrived at her home and I'm greeted by her mom. I said, we're prepared to dig out the entire yard, but I'd like to see if she could direct me as to where this garden was.
Daisy Gutierrez's mother came outside and pointed to a garden area, and we began to search and dig.
We're digging, and all of a sudden, whatever we hit, a bad smell started coming up from the ground.
Instantaneously, the smell of death, you know, encompasses the backyard. And I see the stick coming up with a piece of black garbage bag and something in the ground that is rotting.
I mean, it was horrific. I don't know how anybody can sit there and cut a human being into multiple pieces.
We sealed the entire home as far as considered a crime scene, and we get some of the crime lab investigators in there so they could methodically go through the entire home and yard to gather anything that we feel may be of evidence.
Droplets of blood were located inside of the bedroom, on the blinds, I believe on the window frame inside of the bedroom, as well as in a vent, the grating of a vent in the area where the body was in fact dismembered.
We did take some other objects that we suspected might have been used in the mutilation, you know, tools and cutting instruments and et cetera. Her mom denied knowing it was back there. She indicated that she had no idea what occurred and she never saw anything.
The remains and recovered evidence from the house are transported to the crime lab for further analysis.
Of course, we weren't certain it was Jose until, you know, DNA results came back, but we presumed it was.
As they await confirmation, detectives arrest Daisy's father, 56-year-old Salvador Gutierrez, and bring him in for questioning. Under pressure, Salvador admits to helping bury Jose's body.
He said that when he got back to the house, Daisy took him into the room and says, I got to show you something. And he went to the room, and that's where Jose was laying face up on the bed.
I think the father was led to believe that the victim was harassing Daisy. He claims that, you know, that Milton forced him to, you know, help him.
He said that Daisy told him that Miranda was in a gang and this is what they do, they kill people. He was scared that something was going to happen to him or his family, so he went along with the whole thing. He believed that he was helping his daughter stay out of trouble.
Salvador tells detectives after that, he bought bus tickets for Milton and Daisy and told them to never come back.
She was kicked out after this crime had occurred and sent back to New Jersey with Milton. The children stayed with her mother.
It appears Salvador is telling the truth, with perhaps one exception.
He's telling it just like a story. But I don't recall, oh my God, you know what I mean? This is disgusting. You know, he said he was forced, but I don't know how much.
After placing Salvador under arrest, investigators finally receive word from the medical examiner.
Police could be certain that this was, in fact, the remains of Jose.
Todo mundo no podía creerlo. Eso fue algo duro para nosotros, ¿verdad? Enterarnos la magnitud de lo que le hicieron a él.
As Jose's family grieves, detectives reach out to their counterparts in New Jersey, Milton's last known location.
He's a flight risk because he came from Honduras. He was not here legally. He's not in Chicago. He's out of the state. And obviously, there is a concern then that he could easily leave the country.
Luckily, New Jersey detectives are able to move in fast before Milton has a chance to flee.
At the time of his arrest, he was working in a bakery in this town in New Jersey.
I went down to go interview him. He agreed to give me a statement. He's got a kind of bit of a tough guy personality initially. After some time of blatantly denying any involvement in anything, he just slammed his hands on the table and he's like, fine, you know, I'll just tell you what happened. he finally opened up and confessed to his involvement in the entire incident.
He had no remorse. And in fact, in his interview, I believe that Milton bragged that he had been involved in a gang in Central America. That's where he learned how to do this in terms of dismembering a body, disposing of a body.
Coming up, the three suspects scramble to save themselves.
In exchange for that plea, she was going to have to testify against Milton.
And Jose's loved ones question if justice will ever be served.
It was another slap in the face by Daisy.
After a four-month-long investigation, three people now face charges for their roles in the murder of Jose Reyes Ramos.
Milton Miranda was charged with first-degree murder and concealing a death related to a homicide. Daisy Gutierrez was charged with first-degree murder and also concealing a death. And Salvador Gutierrez, Daisy's father, was charged with concealing a death related to a homicide.
However, detectives still believe there is one person at the center of the case with a twisted motive.
Daisy was trying to mess around with Jose because she was trying to get back at Jose's brother. She was trying to make him mad, and I guess that just wasn't enough for her.
Daisy's motive was two-part. She wanted to profess and show her love to her new man, Milton Miranda. And she felt that by luring Jose to the house and essentially having him killed, that proves to Milton that she loves him. Also, she felt that she needed to get Jose out of the picture because he was never gonna stop bothering her.
With her back against the wall, Daisy decides to plead guilty for her role in the crime to avoid trial.
She was allowed to plead guilty to dismembering a human body as opposed to the count of first-degree murder. But in exchange for that plea, she was going to have to testify against Milton if Milton went to trial.
You have to make deals with some people if you're going to have them to testify against Milton and make the case stronger against the person that actually committed the murder.
In exchange for her cooperation, Daisy is sentenced to 16 years.
Ya me sentí más tranquilo y mi familia también porque ella tenía que pagar por lo que había hecho.
After Milton receives word that his ex is set to testify against him, he too pleads guilty.
Milton said that he essentially wanted to prove to Daisy he was going to take care of her and protect her and take care of anyone that gets in their way and show his love for her.
He pled guilty to first-degree murder and received 30 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections.
Yo dije que bueno, ¿no? Porque no pudo, por tanto daño que hizo. Porque en estos casos no solo le hacen daño a la víctima, sino a toda una familia.
Unlike his daughter, Daisy's father, Salvador, takes his chances at trial.
Daisy's father's motive appeared to be, you know, I have to do whatever I need to do to protect my daughter and to get rid of this evidence and to get rid of this guy who, according to Daisy, has been harassing her for a while.
He claims that he was threatened and that he only did this because he was in fear for his own life.
He had an opportunity multiple times to leave that house and go and say, hey, this guy killed somebody in my house and made me help bury the body. And he never did.
He was, in fact, held responsible. He was found guilty of dismembering a human body, and he was sentenced to, I believe, 20 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections.
If anything, her dad should have got the 16. I mean, I understand he is an accomplice, but I don't think that this was his plan.
As the case comes to a close, One tragic detail remains unsolved. Who sent the Muerte text to Jorge on the day Jose was killed, and why?
We don't know for sure whether it was another slap in the face by Daisy and Milton to Jose's brother, or if it was Jose trying to say what just happened to him.
I am still under the belief that he did that before he passed away. I never learned anything different.
Though Daisy, Salvador, and Milton were convicted and given prison time, those close to the case believe Daisy in particular dodged justice.
Con tanto problema que nos hizo a nosotros, pienso que como la sentencia de ella fue muy, es como muy poquito para nosotros.
I think that she should have gotten the same sentence that that Milton got personally. She's responsible for this poor gentleman's death.
As for Daisy's third child, Jose's nephew, he now resides with his father, Jorge. But the reunion is in a sea of grief over the loss of Jose.
Yo pienso que Jose debería ser recordado, para mí lo personal, como ese muchacho humilde y callado, ¿verdad? Como ese tío cariñoso. Como ese muchacho dedicado a la familia, a ayudar a los suyos a salir adelante. Así quiero que lo recordemos, como ese muchacho que trabajaba para ayudar a los suyos.
Dejó algo bonito porque no tenía problemas, le hablaba a todo el mundo. Todos los planes que teníamos entre familia ya no se cumplieron porque ya falta uno.
After serving 8 years, Salvador Gutierrez was released on parole in February of 2021. In June of 2021, Daisy Gutierrez was also released on parole after serving only 8 years. Milton Miranda continues to serve his 30-year sentence at the Lawrence Correctional Center in Illinois. He is projected to be released in 2046 at the age of 55.
For more information on Snapped, go to oxygen.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.